Chapter 11. The sound of hoofbeats made Henry Brennan look up from the chunk of wood he had just split. He rested the head of the axe on the stump and wiped sweat off his forehead. September it might be, but the sun was still hot, especially when a fellow stood out in it and swung an axe for an hour or so. A group of riders came along the lane toward the farmhouse. Henry wasn't surprised to see the blue uniforms. Cavalry patrols came by the farm pretty often. The Yankees still had some sort of headquarters in Culpeper. General Grant had been there for a while, but he had long since moved on south toward Richmond to capture the Confederate capital. That attempt had failed, but it had cost the lives of plenty of good Southern boys, including Captain William Shakespeare Brannan, who had fallen and was buried at Cold Harbor. Not a day went by, not even an hour hardly, when Henry didn't ache inside at the thought of his brother's death. His hand tightened on the axe handle as the troopers rode closer. The axe was one of the few things on the farm that could be used as a weapon. The Yankees had confiscated all the rifles, pistols, and shotguns on the place. Henry supposed they feared an uprising against their occupying army. That wasn't likely to happen. Hard times, starvation, sickness, pure despair, had beaten down the inhabitants of Culpeper County until they didn't have any fight left in them, even if they had been foolish enough to think that a few civilians could accomplish anything against the Federal Army. Still, the Yankees seldom missed a chance to grind folks down a little more. The lieutenant leading the patrol signaled a halt as he reined in. He was young, probably in his early 20s, about the same as Henry. He faced Henry and gave him what appeared to be a friendly nod. Henry didn't believe it for a second.
"Afternoon," the Yankee said in greeting. Henry glanced at the sun. "Can't argue with that." For a second, the Yankee looked annoyed but grinned. "I suppose not." "If you're here to scavenge, you're out of luck," Henry said. "We don't have anything left except a couple of chickens and a milk cow."
The lieutenant shook his head.
"We're not on a foraging party. Supplies are coming in pretty regular now on the railroad. I'm looking for Henry Brannan."
Henry felt surprise go through him. If the Yankees were looking for him, it couldn't be for any good reason. But there wouldn't be any point in denying who he was.
"I'm Henry Brannan." "Judge Dyden in Culpeper tells me that you used to be the sheriff around here."
Apprehension grew inside Henry. Had these Yankees come to arrest him?
"I was the sheriff for a little while. Not very long, though." "Would you mind riding back into town with us? My commanding officer wants to talk to you." This was it, Henry thought. They were going to arrest him, all right. His muscles tensed. If he flung the axe at the lieutenant, that might distract the rest of the patrol for a second or two. He could turn and run into the barn and get himself shot in the back, he realized. He didn't stand a chance in hell of reaching the barn before those troopers could cut him down. Before he could say or do anything, the front door of the farmhouse opened. The young lieutenant looked that way, as did the other cavalrymen. A couple of them shifted their hands closer to their pistols, Henry noted. He stiffened in alarm as his sister, Cordelia, a couple of years younger than he was, stepped out onto the porch. She stopped short in surprise at the sight of the blue uniformed riders.
"Oh," she said.
The young officer jerked his campaign hat off his head and sat straighter in the saddle.
"Lieutenant Joseph Keller, at your service, ma'am," he said. "Please don't be frightened. We're not here to cause trouble for you or your husband."
Husband? Not even the surprise and possible fear she felt could keep the word from coming out of her mouth.
"You mean Henry? He's not my husband, he's my brother."
Keller blinked.
I see. Then you don't have a husband, ma'am."
Henry stepped forward, still holding the axe.
"That's none of your damn business, mister."
Now the troopers quickly turned their attention back to Henry, away from the pretty red-headed young woman on the porch. They didn't just move their hands toward their guns this time. They drew their weapons.
"Hold your fire," Keller said.
He was still holding his campaign hat in one hand. He flung out that arm to motion the others back. To Henry, he said,
"It might be a good idea to put down that axe, Mr. Brannan."
For some reason, Henry didn't like being called Mr.
by somebody who was about the same age as he was. Nevertheless, not wishing to appear threatening to the Yankees, he dropped the axe to the ground beside the wood-splitting stump. With Cordelia standing on the porch nearby, he couldn't afford to take any chances, with having bullets flying around. As for himself, he didn't much care whether the Yankees shot him. These days, he had to look long and hard to find a good reason to go on living. Taking care of what was left of his family was about the only thing he could come up with. "Holster your weapons," Keller ordered.
"Are you sure that's a good idea, Lieutenant?"
a burly Yankee sergeant asked.
"I gave you an order, Sergeant McCafferty. I expect you to follow it."
"Yes, sir,"
the sergeant answered, holstering his revolver and motioning for the other troopers to do likewise. Slowly, grudgingly, they put up their guns. Keller turned back to Henry.
"Now, Mr. Brannan, I'm asking you again to come along peaceable with us."
Bringing down more trouble on the head of the family was the last thing Henry wanted to do. He nodded his agreement to the man's request.
"All right, Lieutenant, but you have to give me a ride. You see, we don't have any horses or mules left. You Yankees have taken them all."
Keller's mouth tightened in anger at Henry's scornful tone, but the young officer controlled his reaction. He held out a hand.
"Come along, you can ride with me."
As he did so, McCafferty commented,
"Better you and me, Lieutenant. I ain't sure I could take the stink of a damn Reb so close to me."
"That'll be enough of that, Sergeant."
"Yes, sir,"
McCafferty said. Henry heard the note of derision in his voice. He couldn't let himself go mad, no matter what the Yankees said or did. If he flew off the handle, that would give them the excuse they needed to kill him or throw him in jail. He had to take whatever they wanted to dish out. He looked over at the porch to Cordelia.
"Tell Ma where I've gone."
He was glad his mother and Louisa Abernathy were down at the creek searching for hickory nuts. Abigail Brannan had no use for Yankees of any sort, and she didn't mind saying so.
"Are you sure you'll be all right, Henry?"
Cordelia called at him as Keller turned the horse around.
"Don't worry, Miss Brannan," the lieutenant said before Henry could reply to the question. "I'll see that your brother's taken care of."
"Perhaps that's what I'm worried about, Lieutenant,"
she responded tartly. Keller just looked at her for a second. Henry could see the man's face only in profile, but he thought a smile tugged at his lips. All Cordelia gave back to him was a stony glare. The lieutenant heeled his horse into a trot, heading down the lane away from the house. The rest of the patrol followed. Henry hung on. He didn't like being this close to a Yankee, just as the lieutenant probably didn't like having a rebel riding with him. Neither of them seemed to have much choice in the matter. After a while, the cavalrymen jogged their horses past the turnoff where the trail to Mountain Laurel left the Culpeper Road. Henry felt his guts clench as he looked at the turnoff. There was nothing at the end of that winding road now, nothing except the burned-out shell of a once great plantation house. Mountain Laurel, the home of planter Duncan Ebersol, had burned to the ground several weeks earlier, taking Ebersol with it. His was the only life lost in the blaze. None of the servants had been in the house when it caught fire. Henry supposed all the slaves had left the plantation since then, wandering off because they had no reason to stay. The fields lay fallow. The overseers were all gone, and no one cared any more about fugitive slaves. Anyway, Lincoln had set them all free with his so-called Emancipation Proclamation. And if the Union won the war, as it seemed destined to do, soon slavery would be a thing of the past in the South. Henry didn't care about that. What put the bitter lines on his face were the memories of Polly, Ebersol's daughter. She had married two of the Brannan boys, first Titus, and then Henry, after it appeared that Titus had been killed at Fredericksburg. None of them knew until later that Titus was still alive and in a Yankee prison camp in Illinois. Not until he had escaped and made his way back home had anyone been aware that he had survived the battle. Titus's homecoming had been a mixed blessing, though, and ultimately it had led to tragedy. Now Polly was gone, and so was Titus. Polly dead and buried in the churchyard in Culpeper, Titus off fighting Yankees somewhere. He might be dead, too, as far as Henry knew. He had to work at it to make himself care anymore. He still thought Titus bore some of the blame for the death of Polly and the child she had been carrying, Henry's child, He shoved those thoughts into the back of his head. Yes, there had been plenty of tragedy in his life these past few years. That was true of just about everybody in the South. He couldn't afford to dwell on it, not when he was a prisoner of the Yankees himself. He still wondered what they wanted of him. Except for the Union troops around town, Culpeper resembled a ghost town. No fighting had taken place in the settlement itself, so the buildings had not been shattered by artillery fire or burned as buildings in so many other southern towns had been. Some of the residents remained, but many had left, evacuating as the Yankees came in. They preferred taking to the roads as refugees to staying behind and placing themselves under the iron-fisted control of the invaders. Though civilians who had stayed in Culpeper seldom ventured out of their homes. Henry felt another pang of regret as he and his captors rode by the abandoned store that had once been run by Michael Davis, an old friend of the Brannan family. Davis had left Culpeper even before the Yankees came. Henry had no idea where the man was now. Keller brought the patrol to a halt in front of the courthouse. Henry slid down, first, from the back of the horse. The lieutenant and the other soldiers dismounted in military fashion, and one of the men led the lieutenant's horse away. "My orders are to bring you straight to Colonel Avery," he told Henry. "Please come with me, Mr. Brennan." Still feeling like a prisoner, even though Keller seemed to be making an effort not to treat him that way, Henry followed the lieutenant into the courthouse. Those bad memories were everywhere these days, he reflected. For a while, he had occupied the sheriff's office in this building, and before that, before the war, Will Brennan had been the sheriff of Culpeper County. There was no getting away from the reminders of everything the Brennans had lost. Keller ushered Henry into an office that had once belonged to the county clerk. The chambers had been taken over by one of the Yankee officers. He looked up from a chair behind a scarred desk as the two men entered the room. Keller came to attention and snapped a salute. "Lieutenant Keller reporting, sir. I've brought Sheriff Brennan to see you, as you ordered." "That's former Sheriff Brennan," Henry said.